Amen. Amen. With those very same Bibles, if you would turn to Numbers chapter 11. And I ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 11, then I'd like you, if you can, Numbers in the Old Testament, fifth book of the Old Testament, and also put your finger on Acts chapter 5, or put a little marker on Acts chapter 5. We started a series 2 weeks ago, and today's the final part of it, called Devoted Carriers. And we spent the first 2 weeks talking about what it really means to be devoted, not specifically to a person or a thing, but to what God is doing. What God is doing at the place. And in terms of us, what is God doing in our church? In terms of you, what is God doing in your home to come in line with the Lord and what He is doing? And we talked about a couple of quick points. You know, devotion has to come from the people. The problem is a lot of churches, that a lot of churches have is that the inspiration, encouragement, and motivation comes from the pastor or the leadership. You got a bunch of cheerleaders up here trying to cheer you on. Come on, we can do this. And the people are going, yay. A healthy church, the people are self-motivated, inspired. They're passionate about what they see God doing. They don't need me to tell them, let's get excited about this. They're getting excited about it. My job is to share the vision, to provide their tools, equip, to help build, to encourage, but it's the fire within them that God has poured into them that's setting their lives on fire and getting them going. And then devotion is to the heart of God. It's to what He wants done. Not what I want done, not what anyone else wants done, but what God wants to be done. What God is doing, I should say, is a better way to clarify it. We're lining ourselves up with God. So that's the devoted part of it. And you can listen to it on the website. And by the way, any announcement you heard or anytime you have questions about things going on in the church, everything's on the church website. So you can get even directions to today ministry. But today, right now, we're going to talk about the carriers part of it. What it means to be a devoted carrier or a passionate carrier. You've declared your devotion. You've got the fire. How are we going to make this fire burn the right way? What does it mean to even burn the right way? And we're going to look at Moses. You have Moses who just led hundreds of thousands of people out of Egypt. And eventually they grew into a couple of million or so. Moses was leading these people. Moses had at his disposal hundreds of teachers, elders, tribal leaders. He had his brother, he had his sister, he had that staff that can do wonderful things. He had all this with him. And you have to keep in mind, you had the 12 tribes of Israel. So you had tribal leaders. You've had even patriarchs within families. You had a type of leadership structure built within the people. That's why when there was one person rising up or there was an issue, basically that whole tribe or the whole clan would have an issue because they had to stick by what their patriarch or leader was going through. So Moses did have leaders at his disposal, but he felt all alone. He felt completely all alone. Why? He had the vision of God. He had a hard time translating that vision to the people, and the people were not lined up with his passion. The people did not get it. They saw freedom. They got out. 2 days later, they're complaining. They didn't see the overall vision of God. They thought grass is greener on the other side. They get to the other side and they realize that there's actually a little bit of work that needs to be done. That you do go through that purifying fire. And they started griping. So they didn't grasp that vision and that passion that Moses had. Very similar, and we just, you know, spent 2 weeks in the book of Acts on the devotion element of it. And Acts chapter 5, verses 12 and 14, I want to share this with you. If you can follow me in your Bible, this is not going to be on the screen. And through the hands of the apostles, this is after the 3,000 came, and then there was another 4,000 or 5,000 that came. Many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord on Solomon's porch. Yet, none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord in multitudes of both men and women. What that is saying is, God was pouring out His Spirit. And every single one in that church had the opportunity and the ability to receive the outpour of the Holy Spirit that God had on them, to catch that vision. They each one had the ability to become just like Peter that we talked about, to get up in front of hundreds of thousands and preach the Word of God and exemplify signs and wonders, to heal and to do all those things Jesus called them to do. Every single one of them, just like every single one of us, has that. But some said, wait a minute. We'll let the Holy Spirit do His thing with you apostles, with you guys. We'll just settle on doing little other things. See, this is the difference. You have the ones who carry the passion of God's heart and those who just want to do. Be on the outskirts. You've got the spectators who might do their part, but then you got those who are the engagers, who are right in, all in. You got me. I'm there. And that's kind of similar to what Moses was enduring right now. You got spectators who whine every time, you know, just like in a football game, their team does bad. They're going to boo. And if Moses doesn't do good in their eyes, they're booing. But then you have the engagers who are just pouring it all in. Even if they're down 42 to nothing, they're still fighting hard. Because it's not about the one game. It's about the vision that God has. And this is what was going on. Moses had all these people, but he still felt completely alone. In Numbers 11, verses 10 through 15. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, and everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant," meaning himself? "Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid this burden of all these people on me?" Why is it on me? "Did I conceive all these people?" poor effort at sarcasm. "Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear all these people alone." In the NIV, it says, "I cannot carry all these people by myself, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me." If it's going to be all on me, God, if I have to do this on my own, it's not worth it for me. Please kill me. That's what Moses is saying. That's a crazy thought when you think about it. After delivering all these people from years of bondage, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. It's an amazing thing that's taking place. You know why pastors burn out? And the average length of stay of a pastor in a church is about 2.5 years. Pastors burn out because they're doing all the work. And they can't keep motivating people. People are not grasping the vision that God has given the pastor. Church faithful lay people who pour their entire being into a church burn out because the average church, less than 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I'm not talking about just vacuuming the carpets and that kind of stuff, but carrying the fight, the passion. Like I said earlier, thank God this church is a fighting church. That you don't have one or two warriors, you have group of mighty warriors, men and women, who are training up a new generation of mighty warriors to battle. That's the beauty that's taking place here. And this is what we need to do. Moses did not have that. Even his own brother and sister questioned him. And he's struggling to carry. See, not all those in leadership position are carriers. They're not everyone who may be a leader has accepted the burden of the vision that God has given. Has not said, you know what, this is what God's doing. I'm taking up this cross and I'm going to do it. I'm getting with it and I'm going to rally the troops. Yes, I believe in this. I'm with it. You know, something interesting happened this morning during prayer time. We got to prayer, and you can feel the spirit in our prayer was a little rough. People were going through a lot of stuff. And the Lord said to me, you're on the battlefield. You are the general in charge right now. Lead your troops. So it was on me now to give direction, to give vision to our prayer, line it up with what God, to declare the vision of the Lord, the purpose of warring today. And guess what? People started to rise. The presence of God arose. And people who initially might have felt defeated rose up and fought. Lined up with the vision and the heart of God at that moment. And that's what a carrier does. Sees what God is doing, asks, where is my place in this, and does it. And does it. Again, this is all part of, was inspired by that book, Crossing Over, by Paul Scanlon. And one of the examples he uses is, he walked into his church 100 times, and there was a little paint blotch on the carpet. In and out. They've got, again, his church was a giant church. They had paid custodians. They had paid staff members. Not one person stooped down to clean the carpet, to try to get that stain out. Not one person felt, this is the burden of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. This is an example. This type of thing is a symptom of a greater problem. And I have to tell you, I was very convicted by this in preparing for this message. You know, because the Lord's opening my eyes to what I am not doing to carry it. God's vision, part of it is he has us here in this building right now. Believing God's getting us somewhere else, our own building, sooner than later. But right now, part of his vision and purpose, he has us here. Therefore, I need to treat this place with the respect and honor that blesses the Lord. Walked out of church last Sunday. There was cat poop or dog poop on the sidewalk. So I just had to drop my guitar, my Bible, everything. Went back in the office, got stuff to clean it up. I could have, because initially I looked at it and said, why did they do that? And then I'm like, wait a minute. That's your responsibility. You are the carrier. You're supposed to be the example of a leap carrier. This not doing it is a symptom of the greater problem. Don't mistake the symptom for the core. Those who do work, such as setting up and cleaning up, beautiful things, but that should be an outgrowth of being a passionate carrier for the things that God is doing, not doing them because they need to be done. It's a passion of that. So now it's funny, I'm walking around the building, there's something needs to pick up, I'm going to pick it up because I want my heart to line up with God's vision and God's part and His purpose. Carriers, not every leader or one in a leadership position has that. And that's when we have problems. At the same time, not all carriers are recognizable leaders either. I thank the Lord for so many passionate carriers in this church who may not have a title. They may not have an office or position officially. But you know what? Their heart is lined up with what God is doing. And they're moving with the way God's moving. We don't have somebody, you know, with a title of professional anointer that will go around anointing pews. But you know what? We have people that the heart of God is in them, and they're going around before church service starts and praying over every pew. Carriers, it's of the heart, not of the mind. It's of the heart. And they're passionate about what God is doing. In Acts chapter 2, again, this is not going to be on PowerPoint, so if you turn to Acts 5, flip over. See, the thing is, many people in our church sometimes look like they're carrying, but they're really not. Our prayer has constantly been that the leaders and the lay servants of God in this church receive the vision of God, receive the heart of God, and just simply say, I'm joining. I'm part of this. I don't need anything. I am following what the Holy Spirit's doing. I see it. I'm committing. I'm devoted, as we've been talking about, to what God is doing. And I'm going to carry my part. Lord, what can I do today? What is it you would have me do? How would you have me move? You don't need me to tell you, by the way, you have permission to go pray for somebody. No, you have that permission. You have that authority. You have that anointing on you. You have that power, and God hears your prayers as clearly as He hears mine. And maybe even more sometimes, because sometimes I may be praying and I'm not in the best place. So don't ever think that He hears my prayers and doesn't hear yours. In Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 42, I want to share this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is part of what we read last week. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were gathered together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It wasn't something they did. They were passionate about what God was doing. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See? People caught the vision. People embraced. It went from Jesus through the Holy Spirit to the disciples. The disciples passed it, and the people caught the vision and joined and began to embrace what was going on. And what happened when people lined up with the heart of God? He began to add to their number. God added to them because they were right with God. But being a carrier is not easy. It requires a type of commitment. First thing, 2 points I have is the effect and the maturity. The effect, being a character will affect your life. Your life will not be the same at all when you are a character, because the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you do, your priorities, all that will change as your passion for what God is doing is molded to His heart. It completely changes. It affects your walk with Him. You can't have a lukewarm walk with the Lord and be a carrier. You can't. Those that helped Moses bear that burden, their lives were never the same. The disciples, when they received, their lives were never the same. Those people who came together, their lives were never the same. It affects your walk. It affects your journey in life. You might be heading towards, you know, a six-figure salary at a company, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, I'm sending you here. Your journey will change. It affects your journey because you're lining it up with God. It affects your appearance, your attitude, your style. It affects who you are. It governs your time. Maybe some of us need to tweak our commitment times. Maybe we need to say, you know what? I need to make time for this over that because this is more important. Maybe I need to get up an hour earlier and make sure I'm ready spiritually so that I can be ready to battle instead of spending that extra hour sleeping or drinking coffee, reading a paper. Maybe I need to commit certain hours of my day or of my week or of my month to certain things. A few weeks ago, you know, you guys know we have a ministry with the men. For the men to shovel, not just the church when we need it, but those who need help. And I have to confess, most of the time, I'm the one making the phone calls to see who can help shovel. But there was one person that blew me away and touched my heart. One person I never contacted. All of a sudden, they showed up. And they said to me, we figured you'd be out here doing this, so we came to join you. Think about that. That person has the heart and potential of a carrier. Carry that burden. Can you imagine if, as a church, we're so in tune with what God is doing, we're so lined up with what the Holy Spirit's doing, that we just know when we need to go, when we need to move, when we need to make a phone call, when we need to go pray, when we need to just take time and intercede for somebody, even in our own home. Imagine when that burden of God, when we receive the passion and the vision of God, how that would come into play. It's being a carrier affects even how you move in terms of, it might slow you down a little bit. You need to chill out. Maybe your life is too over-planned. And you need to say, I'm going to scale this back a little bit. I don't need to be doing everything. We have a problem in this area and with families, with kids that want to do this, and this. Where's the time for family time? Where's the time for church? Where's the time for worship as a family? Where's the time for spiritual growth and education? And then we ask our kids to come to church, and why would they want to? Requires hard work. You might have to be a little more diligent about seeking God every day. It is the hardest part of the journey. See, people don't want to be carriers because they know it will affect this. They know it requires change, and we're complacent with our lives. Paul Scanlon quote here says this, true leaders are carriers. Leaders don't walk like others. Leaders travel with a burden. Leaders can only walk as fast as their burden will allow. I have to tell you, I have a secular job, but my mind never stops thinking about what's going on here, what God is doing here, in addition to what God is doing there. Because that's my heart, that's my burden. And sometimes the two aren't any different. Because God's called me to minister to those people there too. And I had to learn recently the hard way to step up my game at work and take up my mantle as a spiritual leader there, to be even more bold than I was before in the things of God. Problem is, people say it's not my responsibility, or we'll let the pastor do it, or it's their ministry. That's a quick way to for burnout. We're here, our vision is to equip the saints. You are the saints. You're being equipped to be carriers. It's your choice to be that. But we're going to do our part to the best of our abilities to equip you for that. Will you receive that commission? Another quote from Paul Scanlon: carriers feel responsible for everything, whether it's their responsibility by title, badge, or position. They obsess over things that nobody asks them to. The little things that matter. The little things that make a difference, that lighten somebody else's load, or that little thing that just helps push that other person. I don't know about how many of you guys in this room have helped people move, and we know that's not the most exciting thing we guys get excited for. But you know what? If you've ever moved anything heavy and you've got two or three guys, it's amazing. Just that little bit of extra pressure. Maybe you're not even using a more than 2 or 3% of your strength. But that little bit, 2 or 3% of strength that you are using makes the whole carrying experience lighter for everybody. Just that much more. Just think, as a church, if everyone accepts the heart of God, the vision of God that we have, to embrace each other and passionately move with one another and just do 3% more, what that would mean. See, we look at Timothy, and in 1 Timothy 1:18, this is Paul charging Timothy, and this is Paul encouraging Timothy, a young pastor, but what he's doing is Paul mentored Timothy, and Timothy is learning to embrace the vision that God has, that Paul has imparted upon him, that mentored him and trained him. So here is Timothy being again encouraged to embrace this and to learn how to be a carrier of the heart of God. And listen what Paul says in 1:18, 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you wage the good warfare. He was prophesied over that he was going to be in a spiritual warfare as a young pastor. So you wage the good war. You fight this war. Do your part. Understand, it's a passion of God. The enemy's coming against you because you carry the heart of God. So don't let that wear you out and keep you from doing good. Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. Keep warring. Keep passionately going. If you're the only one for a while picking up the can of Coke on the lawn, keep doing it. If you're the only one preaching and nobody's listening, keep doing it. If you're the only one laying hands and praying over people, keep doing it, because someone will get it. And you will influence and you will impact lives. Find somebody and they will get it. Embrace them. Mentor them. Don't quit the fight. See, a year and a half ago, my wife and I kind of made a commitment sort of to go all in into this church. We knew that by empowering people to become carriers and leaders, it's going to take more of our time than we had before. And we didn't have much time for ourselves before either. But we knew that for about a year, we're just going to go all in and equip this body as best as we can. And we're seeing the fruit of it now. Praise God. We're seeing people step up and do their thing. Become carriers. 1 Timothy 2, 1-4. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercession, giving thanks be made for all men. Carry them. Stand in for them. In faith and purity, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Use what God has put inside of you. Till I come to encourage you and charge you even more and pour more into you, keep things going. You bear this burden. With me, Paul is telling them, do not neglect this gift which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. I'm sorry, I skipped something. I apologize. Exhort supplication, prayer, intercession, giving thanks be all made for kings, for all who are in authority, that you may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, God our Savior, who desires all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Embrace this heart of God that he is doing. Now in 1 Timothy 4, beginning verse 12, let no one despise your youth. Let no one say, hey, you're too young. But you know what? As a young man, you're carrying the burden of the Lord. You're carrying the passion of the Lord. Age has nothing to do with it. But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, giving attention to the reading and exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. He's saying lead by example. Carrier leads by example. They don't complain about what they need to do. They just do it. And it becomes infectious. It becomes infectious. When you come in before a service and other stuff is going on, and you're going over and just praying over, somebody's watching. And just maybe as they open their hearts up to the Holy Spirit, they're going to start praying over these things. Just maybe your influence will encourage them to open their hearts to the burden of God. Moses' problem is he complained and he got aggravated and he got frustrated and whined. He didn't say, Lord, I pray that you would give others what you have given me. He didn't do that at that point. He was just complaining, he was getting angry, and he was burnt out to a crisp. He was done. So, second point is the maturity of a carrier. See, carrying reveals your spiritual maturity level. Think about it. As a parent, you go in your kitchen and there's somebody left a cup on the table. What are you going to do? You're going to pick it up and you're going to put it in the sink. As a child, pick that cup up, and can you put your cup in the sink? It's not mine. He put it there. He drank from it last, but I poured it for you. No, yes, but he drank for it last, so it's his job. Immature, mature. If I were to go around saying, it's not my job to pick up that dog poop on the carpet, or it's not my job to pray over these pews, or it's not my job to cover my family, whose job is it then? It reveals your growth and your maturity, and that reveals the passion we have, because we can act the role the best way possible. We can wear the outfit to match the role. But it's not going to take long to realize if we're actually fulfilling that role or not. Are we maturing in that way? The immature will only carry what they need to do. I'm only going to do what I have to do. Nothing more, that's it. And if there's a way I can get away with less, I will. They say, it's not my job. It's not my responsibility. But a true carrier goes beyond. Again, going back into 2 Timothy now, chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. Now, in the NIV, kind of gives a little more clarity of honor and dishonor. It says, for special purposes and some for common use. We all have our good china, but we also have our everyday china. That's what he's saying here. You have your good china and you have your everyday china. God's house is the greatest house of all. God's house is a large house. So in this large house, there's everything, and everything is meant to be used. Even the good china is going to be used at some point. It's meant for a purpose. What is important to God, because there's all kinds of vessels, is not the appearance of the vessel, but its usefulness. See, putting good china in that nice, expensive cabinet to just look pretty all day is useless. And I think most men would attest to that. But it becomes useful at the right time when it's used. God wants to use us all. Our usefulness is what matters to God. He doesn't want us to just be the good china that never gets used but looks pretty. He wants us to be used, be willing to be used for the kingdom, to carry the burden of the kingdom. I'm going to end with this in Numbers, back to Numbers 11, a couple of verses down, 16 and 17. See, God isn't looking to partner with special occasion vessels. He's looking for everyday useful vessels in the kingdom. Numbers 11, 16, 17. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel. So this is after Moses is complaining. Whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Not you stand there alone and they're behind you, but stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. So think about this. Moses is lined up with a bunch of men, elders, and God is speaking with Moses. They're overhearing everything. They're in on it. They are part of it. They are joining the partnership with what God is doing. And talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, Moses, and I will put that same spirit in them. The heart that I gave you, the vision I gave you, the passion I gave you, the carrier that you are supposed to be, that I put in you, that spirit, that burden that's on you, I'm going to take it from your heart and I'm going to give it to them as well. So now they will understand the weight that you carry. Their eyes will be open to what God wants you to do, what God's plan is, what God's vision is, what his purpose is for you. So you're not going to be alone, Moses. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. He picked 70 people to line up with the heart of God, to help Moses along. Moses receives help in carrying the burden. Would happen only when they felt for the church, because the people represent the church. the church as Moses did. They would have that passion for what God is doing in the church as Moses did. God needed to instill in them what was in Moses, and their eyes were suddenly opened, and you can read more about that on your own, and a carrier spirit came upon them, and they started to help, and things began to open up. This is what a passionate carrier does. They are passionate about what God is doing and have found their place in it, not being told what to do, but because it's in there. And they're moving with it. They can't wait to come together and to grow together. They're excited about being part of the passion of God, the heart of God. So the challenge for us is, will we be like those 70 people? Will we be like them and be willing to stand with Moses? Would you be willing to stand and listen to what God is speaking about what he wants to do? And this extends beyond these four walls and Bayshore Christian Fellowship alone. Our job is to make disciples of all men. But in doing that, we are equipping the saints for the work of the kingdom of God. We're creating a fire, instilling a fire in people with a passion of God to become what God has called us to be. To preach, teach, heal, cast out demons, to move in the power, to love like no one else knows how to love. Because the God of love is in us. To work in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To make a difference and change lives. Not to do church. Take what he is doing and expand on it. And minister to everybody, even those of the tribes who were at the far back end of the line. They're just as important to God as the ones in the front. I want you right now to just take a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Where is your place in what God is doing right now? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What is he speaking to you? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. Yes, Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand, and as you're still listening to the Holy Spirit, just stand, and I'm going to ask if you could just put your hands out in the receiving position, just to, in faith, we open our hearts to receive what God is doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I feel like God is stirring some things with some people here. If God has given you a word or a scripture to share with the body, to edify the body, you are free to share it right now.
vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. So with Pharaoh, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not pass.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Donna, can I just ask you to just play on the piano right now? In a little bit, we're going to have our prayer team up here to pray for people. But for now, we're just going to open up the altar area and let you again, like last week, spend some time with the Lord to make the commitments God wants you to make. And then in a few moments, I'll invite our prayer team up and you'll be free to come forward.